This is Sarah Weymouth, and welcome to my podcast, where we talk about everything for you to live your best life. And we have a little fun too, from talking about business, marriage, parenthood, money, health, home decor, friendship, beauty, and pop culture. I'm a mother to three, a wife, a successful business owner, and I want to live my highest best self. Follow along as we learn together, grow, teach, because you only get to live one life. Oh, and I promise to dig deeper and to ask the tough questions. This is the Lime Podcast.
Hello. I'm excited to talk about this topic. This is the funny thing. I actually wanted to do an episode on marketing specifically. You know, my background is marketing. I do all the marketing for Lemon, and it's been almost 7 years of that. And I love marketing to some extent. I really, really do. I think it's such an interesting topic to talk about, branding yourself, or what PR really is, and what makes us tick, really, as consumers. I think it's so fascinating. But I just don't feel like talking about marketing right now. I feel like I'm taking a little break on marketing. And I was really thinking about this today as I was, you know, getting ready to do an episode. I was like, I really should talk about marketing. I haven't done that in a long time. And it's such a fun, hot topic for business owners or really anyone. You know, you could be working for a nonprofit, or you could be an influencer. There's like so much is tied into marketing as a whole. But I then realized that I've been kind of taking a marketing break. Like, there's so much I could be doing with Lemon as far as marketing goes, and I just don't want to. And I don't know what's going on with me. I think I'm feeling personally a little bit burnt out on marketing. Like, I don't want anyone to sell to me. I don't want to be told what to buy. We just had Amazon Prime Days or whatever, and like, I had zero interest, zero. I don't want shit off Amazon. Like, I don't follow the hype right now, or I guess really I haven't for a long time. To be honest, I've never shopped Amazon Prime. So let me put that out there. For those that don't know, that kind of stuff is actually a massive scam where they pretend like it's on sale, but it's not. Or they will give you a quote unquote sales price, but then later you go back and actually the product is cheaper without that sales price, you know? So I'm just very like cautious with that kind of stuff. Same with like the like Nordstrom semi-annual sale. I feel like a lot of the stuff they put on sale is like just stuff that we don't want, or it's stuff that's like kind of outdated or don't have your size or don't have the color you want. Like, you'll go for like a sneaker you really want, and then they have like this really weird purple, and you're like, no, I don't want purple. Like, I want black, you know? Like, it's just, anyways, I'll get off my soapbox on that. So like, I just feel like I'm in this realm of like, don't tell me what to do. I'm gonna do what I want, when I want, how I want. And some of this stuff feels a little cheesy right now. So I've decided to just kind of take a step back and just let there be a little bit of breathing room, as well as I feel like when you do that, your like creative juices can kind of come forward. So that's kind of where I'm at with marketing. I just needed a moment, and it will come back. It'll come to me. I also feel like things are changing in the marketing world, and I'm not really sure where I stand with the change. Do you know what I mean? And I also think small business marketing can be very different than big business. So you have to be careful that you don't follow like an Amazon or a Nordstrom or whatever, because what they're doing does not translate to small business, and then vice versa. You know, something that would work really well for a small business, it will not work for a large business. So that's why, you know, just when you're thinking of marketing, you have to take a step back and go, that works really well for Nike, but that doesn't mean it will translate for my business, you know? So that's my two cents on that. But when I decided I don't feel like talking about marketing, I was like, you know what I really want to talk about? I really want to talk about a little bit of the do's and don'ts of small business ownership, because these are things that they didn't teach me in business school. Like, I have a business marketing degree. I worked in corporate for 10 years in various positions for various size companies. And no one really talks about this kind of stuff. They just don't. Either you're an employee and none of your business, or I think when you are in business school, it's just such a wide range that you're learning that, you know, even if you take a small business class, which they usually do have things like that, they don't give you the nitty-gritty. They give you more of like the basics, like how to make a business plan successfully, and how to hire and train, and HR stuff and legal stuff, and looking at your profit versus, you know, your expenses, and looking at your overhead cost versus additional costs that could vary or whatever, right? I could literally ramble on basic business stuff. And a lot of that pertains mostly to small business owners, for sure. But these are the stuff that I don't hear anybody talk about at all. And I think sometimes it can be embarrassment that, you know, a business owner doesn't want to admit to, or it can remove some of like the glamour of owning a business, you know, because I think we've made it up in our mind that owning and running your own business is so badass, it's so cool, you don't have a boss, you do what you want. And that is true to an extent. But there's just so much more to it that people are very hush-hush about. And I think part of it is not on purpose. I think part of it is just when you run a business, you're kind of doing things on your own, which is great in a lot of ways. You not too many cooks in the kitchen. You are your own boss, but then you also don't have like the sounding board. Like, you don't have anyone to like necessarily talk to, or, you know, your thoughts on your business might be different than another small business owner's thoughts, or it might be too personal. Like, it might be too hard to say like, hey, did you make a profit this month? Or, are you making enough money to do this for 5 years? You know, like big questions that a lot of people don't want to answer, especially if you're not close to them, right? So it does become this very like hush-hush thing. So I am basically gonna tell you the truth. So here we go. One major thing is growth. Every small business owner thinks about growing. You start a business, you find some level of success, and your first thought is, how can I multiply this? How can I grow this? How can I capitalize on this? Which is obviously why you're in the position you're in the first place. The fact that you even thought to start a business shows that you have some level of leadership and ability to be creative and create something out of nothing and all of these amazing qualities. But sometimes this thought around growth can actually destroy our business completely or destroy the integrity of our business. So this actually happened to me. I started Lemon as a pop-up shop, and it was an actual brick and mortar pop-up shop. I rented space for the holiday season. It was actually only a month and a half. And So it was like mid-November through December. And I killed it. I just did. I don't know what it was, if it was just the location I was in or the stuff I bought or the fact that I did it myself for 45 days, literally all by myself. I was the one that was there. I was giving the best customer service. I knew all the product. I was passionate. I was the one that was like, I better do good or I'm about to lose a lot of money, you know? And then grew very quickly to our first official brick and mortar. And then, I'll never forget this. Me and my husband were on date night. Just shy of a year of Lemon having a brick and mortar. So like I opened like April and this was like right after Christmas, I think, or something like that. And my husband was, you know, he was very busy in his corporate career and he was commuting at the time. He was working for Oracle and we go to a date night and I don't know if like I showed him the numbers at dinner or if it was before, but he had looked at the numbers of Lemon and he goes, you know, I've been so busy, I haven't noticed, but like, you're very successful. Like, this is very successful. Oh, I think I remember what happened. It was, we were looking at the taxes because the year had ended and we had submitted our taxes to an accountant and we had opted for a business accounting, obviously, because I had a business now. And the guy called and said, hey, you made a lot of money. You're gonna need to do something or you're gonna pay this money to the government. Pretty much, just to sum it up in a pretty bow for you. And long story short, told us, go buy a car. Buy a big car that could be a business write-off, which a lot of people do. It has to be a certain size. So it has to be a large SUV or something that you can really say that like you're using for the business and you're moving things around and whatnot. So we do that so that we buy the car instead of throwing this money away, right? And that's kind of what shined the light. And I just remember my husband looking at the numbers and going, oh, wow, he's right. And so we're at dinner and my husband goes, like, this is pretty amazing, actually. Like, I really didn't think it was going to be much, but like, way to go. And we started from there slowly, not that slowly, talking about expanding Lemon. Like, hey, if you're making X amount in this one location, could we double it if we had two locations? And like in our minds, in anyone's mind, that's what that means, right? If you got one location that's doing X amount, why can't you duplicate that in a different location, right? And I just remember I told my husband, I said, listen, I can do that, but I can't do it alone. It's a lot. It's a lot to take on. Our kids were little. They were just little toddlers. And he left his corporate job for me to expand Lemon. And we started by adding the website. At the time, we were just a basic brick and mortar, small business location. We added the online. And then we opened the second location, literally like a year after the first location had opened. So like very fast. And let me tell you, big mistake. One, I put so much into Lemon, that first location. Once we went to two locations, I couldn't physically or mentally do that for the second location because I had two stores. I was spread so thin. And even though my husband came on board to help full time, he couldn't do what I did. He couldn't do the marketing. He wasn't the face of the business. At the time, I was very much the face of Lemon. I've kind of removed myself from that now for many reasons, but I was the face of the business. I was the one that was getting on camera every day, talking, showing product, showing gift sets, gift wrapping. Like I was so there. And so, you know, and he couldn't do that. He couldn't train the girls. He wasn't going to like be on the floor, like ringing up customers. He was like, none of that. He was helping me with more of like the behind the scenes, right? Which was great, but it wasn't enough. Eventually I was like, go back to work because this is not enough help. But then also like we're losing an income. Like, why would we do that type of thing? So he went back to work. I figured it out somehow, got store managers, I got a head of operations to help me. I had fully staffed both stores because, well, I had to be available, right? If someone calls in sick and no one can cover, I have to be able to, you know, jump in. So there was a lot of moving pieces. And I didn't realize how thin I was spread out until COVID happened. And when COVID happened and everything shut down and I had to send all my employees home and my babies were home and could not go to school and my husband was doing Zoom work 24, you know, it was like from 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock, he was like on Zoom in these meetings on camera with a suit on. Like, it was insane. And I was all by myself to deal with these two locations. And of course, we have amazing customers that shopped and the website kept us going. But I was running from location to location, fulfilling these online orders and doing the Instagram stuff and just keeping things afloat. It was the craziest time of my life. And it was in that moment where I went, oh, I am spread so thin that one thing happens and everything fell apart, right? And I was in shock, honestly. Now that I look back, like, I was in complete disbelief. Like, I was like, obviously we were all shocked with what happened with COVID in general, but I think just looking at my life, I was like, oh my God. I've got all these kids. I've got the two locations. I've got all these employees counting on me. I've got my marriage. I've got a dog. I've got a big property. I've got like all these things came like crashing down on top of me. And then I realized, what have I done? What have I done? And I didn't really get to have the two locations long enough where I could tell you financially if it was worth it. I think it was, honestly, but I was drowning. And in some ways, thank God COVID happened because it opened up my eyes much faster than otherwise. I would have just kept going. I would have just kept going and who knows what would have happened. I probably would have had a complete burnout. And, the way that story ends, for those that don't know, I tapped out of location two, you know, blamed it on COVID. I was like, I'm out of here. Can't do this. Went to one location and then we were already planning to move across country, which go ahead and just process what I just said. Like, we were already planning a move across country and I had two locations of Lemon in California. So I was already planning on figuring it out. And so when I realized how spread thin I am, I was like, yeah, this isn't going to work for me. So we reduced back to one location, then moved across country, and then just made it work, right? And then eventually, you know, we moved everything closer. But yeah, anyways, that really is interesting to me that I couldn't see how thinly I was spread until everything came crashing down because of COVID. But my point with all of this is our first thought with growth is to multiply. So, you know, you've got a restaurant owner, they've got an amazing location, everyone loves it. And your first thought is, let's have 5 restaurants. Why not? We could, you know, multiply our profits and make this small business a little bit of a bigger business. Why not? More money, more success, more profit. But then here's what happens. You go from one location to two to three to four to five. And all of a sudden, as the owner, you have lost control, right? You can't be in five places at once. What made location one so amazing was you. You putting in your manager skills, you caring, giving the best customer service, caring about how nice the menu is and curating the menu. It's all you. You cared about local marketing and PR. You cared about the little things like fresh flowers on the table or, you know, making sure that everything is extra neat and tidy or clean or, you know, make the best cocktails or whatever it may be that you poured into location one. You can't duplicate that. Why? Because there's only one of you. And what happens when you start to multiply in locations like that, you are adding general managers, employees. You might be starting to outsource marketing or certain things that you might have been able to just kind of do yourself or, you know, do in-house with an employee, but you were able to kind of see what they're doing from a day-to-day basis. And all of a sudden, you have lost control. Right? You also might have one location that is not producing the way that you expected. So that one location is dragging down your other locations. But it's hard to notice because everything kind of starts to become, you know, mushed together where, okay, that location is not as great as the other four, but we're still doing good. Yeah, but that one location is literally pulling you down. It's like a heavy weight when you're trying to sprint. Why would you want that, right? So then you might have that one location that's not producing well. You might have another location where your general manager quits and now you're scrambling to find someone else that you can trust that is of quality. You might have another location where someone's stealing from you. You might have another location that all of a sudden the foot traffic you are getting is not happening as much and you're trying to figure out what's going on with that location. You are all over the place. And I have learned through my own business, through watching other small business owners, that growth doesn't necessarily mean better. And we have been taught, especially if you're in the business world, that more is better. More is better. But we don't have the backing that a big business has, right? You could, I'm just trying to think of something random, like a Roots Chris, right? Roots Chris has multiple locations and you could say that they're doing great and people love it. And you could go to any Roots Chris and the service, the ambiance, and the food is all pretty much the same. Why can't a small business owner do that? You can't do that because you don't have the crazy financial backings. I've thought about like, oh, what would it be like to have 100 lemon locations across the country? Almost like a Starbucks on every corner, but instead a lemon, right? Why not? Everyone likes a gift shop. Everyone needs to buy gifts from time to time. You have a baby shower to go to, or it's your friend's birthday, or you want to grab something cute for your house. You're trying to get a housewarming gift, whatever. So why not? Well, for me to take lemon to 100 locations, I'm going to need the backing of like a Nordstrom. I just am. I don't have the capacity to do that on my own. Not financially, not mentally. I don't have the proper staff in place for something like that. Really, you would need a big corporate backing to do that. I would need someone that's like the head of HR. I would need someone that's the head of marketing. I would need someone that's the head of finance. You would need to look at your business on a different level. Also, when you start to grow in that capacity, you are making things cookie cutter. You just are. What makes a small business unique and beautiful and loved is the fact that it's not cookie cutter, We are giving the best customer service. We do have the best products. We do, you know, we care about what the displays look like. We, you know, in a restaurant setting, it might be curating the menu per season. It might be really a chef that is passionate about what they're doing, an owner that really cares about the customer experience and having it be a little unique, a little fun, a little different. As soon as you go to grow in multiple locations, you have to make things streamlined. You just do. It needs to be easy to duplicate. It needs to be easy to run. And it needs to be simplified. I actually did this a little bit with Lemon when I moved across country, right? I had a store manager in place. I had my girls in place that worked the store. And I had to make things a little bit cookie cutter because I wasn't there to do some of the day-to-day stuff that made Lemon a little special. And it probably showed a little bit. I mean, you know, we still functioned. It still worked. It was fine. But I do think it took away from a little bit of the magic of what made Lemon so successful right off the bat. So I just gave a really long breath example of what I was really trying to say, which is that growth doesn't necessarily mean more in the sense of locations or that sort of thing. And this could also be the size of your location. Some people just dream of going from 1,000 square feet to 10,000 square feet, right? But what I think a lot of small business owners miss is that you should grow your business within your business. Like, I don't necessarily need 100 locations of Lemon. That I think is cool. And maybe one day that would happen. I don't know. I'm not a psychic. But having one location that's super successful, that gives me the freedom to sit here and have a podcast, that gives me the freedom to be mom, that gives me the freedom to be wife, that allows me time if I wanted to be in the kitchen and make a bunch of food from scratch or go for a long walk with a friend or take a nap at 2 p.m. I don't know, you guys. I think that's the true definition of success. And I really am a firm believer now that I want Lemon to grow within Lemon. I don't need multiple locations necessarily. I don't need a bigger space. I don't need more employees. I don't know. I don't need more followers on Instagram. Like, maybe that's part of the reason why my marketing has been non-existent for a while. I just kind of don't know if more is better anymore. And yeah, of course, I always want to increase profit and increase the amount of customers that know about Lemon and get to come enjoy the store and all of that. Yeah, duh. But I'm not interested in ever being spread that thin again. I just don't care. I just don't care. I want the type of success where I could drop everything and be with my kids at any moment of any day. That's what I want. And that level of freedom is the true success of having your own business. So I think this is a big mistake small business owners make is when they look at growth, they're not thinking about what that growth really means as far as lifestyle, as far as financial, and as far as your day-to-day sanity, honestly. You are the owner. You are a small business, and you have to think about things in a more complex way than a typical large business. You just do. The other thing is ego. Small business owners, we get our egos tied tight into our business. And this is part of the reason why I tell business owners, don't ever put your name in your business. I would never call my store like Weymouth's Closets or like Sarah's Shop or whatever. Like, I would never associate my name to my business. I want my business to be my business and me to be me. I don't ever want to blur the lines. And it's really hard, you guys. When I closed the Danville location of Lemon, I cried like a baby. I just did. I mean, I remember I went to like lunch with some girlfriends, and this was when I was closing the store, and I was just crying. I was like, I'm gonna miss you guys. I'm gonna miss the store, and I just can't believe it's over. And I was just so woven into this location, into the store, into everything I did for Lemon. It also just felt like all my blood, sweat, and tears for what? And I personally took it hard. But now that it's been a while, I have the store here in Franklin. I've now just realized that my business is my business and I'm my own thing, right? Like, Lemon was a part of my identity and now it's not. Lemon is Lemon. This podcast is Lime. Love Lime also. I love everything I do. I love having my own things. I have such pride behind all of it, but I don't have my ego tied to it. Whether my businesses are super successful or crash and burn, it doesn't matter anymore. You know, like, you have to remove your ego from it. And it's really hard. It's really hard. And this kind of ties into what I also want to say, which is, you know, is your business an actual business or is it a glorified hobby? A lot of small business owners don't want to come to the conclusion that their business isn't making enough profit. And it's really hard because you pour so much time and energy and everything into this business and you love it and you think it's such a great idea and you are making money, but are you making enough profit to justify it as a career? And that's hard. That's really hard. Going back to the ego thing, nobody wants to say, hey, my business was good, but not good enough. My business made money, but not enough money for me to profit enough for me to stay in this business. And that is dangerous because what happens is you get so wrapped up into this business where your ego is leading the way, where logic is gone. And you could get into a place where you waste a lot of time and a lot of money and end up nowhere and or end up in a worse position, right? So it's hard and I see it all the time, you guys. I've talked to so many small business owners between having my businesses in California with all those small business owners around me, being here in Franklin with all the small businesses around me here. I've done all my business coaching and I've spoken to people that either want to start a business or do have a business or they want to grow their business. And I see the ego from a mile away. And I get it. I get it because that was me at one point. At one point, I'll never forget this either. I was out and about and someone recognized me from the Lemon Instagram. This was very early on in Lemon. And I was like, oh, that's so sweet. Like, thank you. You know, they were like, I love you. I love your store. I love watching you on stories, like whatever. And I'm not gonna lie. I had a moment of like, ooh, I'm like a celebrity. You know, like I just got recognized on the street for my business. Like, that's cool. And I just remember, and I, you know, there was a lot of talk you know, early on with my husband and the kids, I'm like, guys, when we go out and about, people might recognize me from Lemon. You got to be on your best behavior. Like, mommy has to be on her best behavior. And it was like too much and kind of silly. Like, so I learned very quickly that things can easily go to your head, very easily, where you're like, oh, people love me. People love my business. I am my business. And then if that's to happen and you look at the numbers and go, I'm not profiting that much, then it becomes really hard to make the decision to not do the business or to make big changes to the business. I mean, you know, let's say you're a photographer and your goal is to do just celebrity photography. I'm just making this up. And what you typically do is like family photography or portraits. And then all of a sudden you're trying to get into just celebrity stuff. You want to do like People Magazine and take the pictures of the celebrities that go into those magazines, for example. And you get a couple celebrities and you're feeling pretty pumped. Your ego is inflamed. Your Instagram is booming with some of these celebrity photos. And you're kind of saying no to everyone else. Like, no, I only do celebrities now. I'm only doing celebrities now. I'm no longer doing this stuff with the regular people. And all of a sudden you realize that you're not getting enough celebrity business to make enough profit to make the business make sense. But your ego is so wrapped up in it because you're like, well, now I have branded myself and I've marketed myself as a celebrity photographer. I can't then go and take pictures of Susie and her family. I have to be waiting for, you know, Gwyneth Paltrow to call me. Like, and that's the kind of stuff I'm saying. Like, we have to be really careful that, like, we're not too good. We're not too good. Our egos get in the way, and numbers don't lie. Numbers don't lie. And if numbers don't lie, if it's a business, if it's a hobby, or if it's a passion, then who gives a shit about the numbers? Like, you know, like I'm very vocal that this podcast is a passion project. In no way, shape, or form am I trying to make money on this podcast. You've never heard an ad on here. I don't, you know, whatever. I'm not owned by any media company. I just do what I want, when I want. This is a passion project. I love learning from our guests. I love teaching, you know, like this topic on small business. And it's just fun. That's it. But you can't do that and then also call it a business. That's where people get messed up. That's it. Those are my tips. Those are my do's and don'ts. Those are the stuff about small business that no one talks about. No one talks about this complex of what growth really means. No one wants to talk about their ego, and no one wants to talk about, is it actually a business? Are you making enough actual profit? I mean, guys, there are businesses that make millions a year, but their profits are non-existent. That's not gonna work long-term. It's just not. And it's hard. It's hard to analyze that kind of stuff and see maybe you're spending too much on something you don't need to be spending on, right? And for some people, I really think that their small business is just for fun. You know, I knew of someone that was a stay-at-home mom and she had a boutique. She had everyone that was running the boutique and she was very much not involved, very hands-off. And I just remember at the beginning of Lemon, when I found this out, being like, that's so weird. Like, why? Like, are you making any money? Why would you not want to be involved? This is your business. And then I realized maybe she doesn't need to make money. Maybe she doesn't need to make money. Maybe it's just a little passion thing. She likes fashion. She wants to have the little boutique where she can get things at wholesale. She doesn't want to be involved with the day-to-day. It's a great tax write-off in all aspects. And maybe it's just a fun hobby. And so, you know, I don't need to knock that. Like, great. You do you. And that's a beautiful thing. But for anyone that actually wants their business to make them substantial income where they are leaving their full-time job, then you really have to look at, are you making enough money? So that's my two cents. That's my small business talk. Small business is hard. But I really am starting to believe that the small businesses that have the one location, that are pouring everything into this one location, that those are the places we really need to support. You know, the small businesses that are multiplying and are making everything a little more cookie cutter so they could quote unquote grow, I'm not as interested anymore. And now that the more I learn, the more I see, the more I understand, we really need to all put these small businesses first. Otherwise, they won't last. And when we go to our downtowns and we're walking the streets and all these things, we're really going to be sad when all that is gone. We really are. It's the kind of backbone of our community, what makes us unique, what makes us special, what makes it, you know, when you go travel and you go to the cute downtown and you're looking for a little souvenir or something, you don't want to go to the cookie cutter places that have 17 locations. You want to go to the cute mom and pop shop and go, oh my gosh, look at this. This is like handmade, or this is so unique, or this is so cute, or this is locally bought. And that's what we want. We want that experience. That experience comes from the small business owners. So, yeah. All right. Have a good day, guys. I hope this was a fun talk. See you soon.